It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us. You're each treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. I am honored to get to work with each and every one of you. And it is Tuesday, producer Steve.
Yes, the day after that other day. You know, I think I was telling somebody in the kitchen the other day, I'm going to find a calendar that goes Sunday, day before Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It just won't mention that day.
I think you should create one. I think that would be very entrepreneurial of you. I think you should create one of those because
I know.
I think there'd be a lot of people that get one.
In a nation the size of ours, that there's a lot of other this day haters as well. So, hey.
Actually, I am grateful for each day that I get up and we are engaged in this fight for our country. It is just remarkable what is happening here in America. And we have people that are in office that don't seem to want to protect America, which is one of the number one things that is supposed to happen there in Washington, D.C. So that's why we continue to speak truth into all of these different issues, Steve. We search for truth and clarity. And look at these issues with between freedom versus force versus freedom.
And not only do they not want to protect it, they seem to be openly inviting disasters upon it.
I know. It's going to get, I think it's going to get real interesting here for sure. But that's why we continue to speak truth into this. And we hope that we give you, each of you out there, some courage and perspective on these issues. Because there's a big, broad group of Americans that love America. It's a smaller percentage that has over the years, while we haven't been paying attention, they have gotten into office. They've created these big bureaucracies, and it's going to take a lot to get this thing walked back. But we can do it. We really can do that because we're Americans. I recommend that you check out my website, and that's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And I appreciate all of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air out there. We had Leslie Manoukian on yesterday. I say that three times. And Leslie is going to be in town for some events, one on Thursday night in Loveland and one on Saturday night in Denver. And we should have the show recap up a little bit later today, and we will have the links to that. But I think you can also go to our Telegram channel or also check healthfreedomdefense.org. Healthfreedomdefense.org. And I think that they should be there as well. But would highly recommend that as well. Today, we've got a really interesting show planned for you. In the second segment, the state of Colorado, when you heard that at the very beginning of the show, when you give some people special rights, there can't be special rights when there's equal rights. And what we see here in Colorado is Colorado is doing a program to help small businesses. But if you are white or Native American, I think is what it is, need not apply. And so there's no equal rights in that whatsoever. And so we will have Win Fa on in the second segment. He is with the Pacific Legal Foundation, and they are, I think, going to try to sue the state of Colorado for this very racist program that they have. So that'll be very interesting. And then Greg Morrissey, you know him. He's one of my fellow Liberty Toastmasters, but he grew up in Australia. He has family back there. And I continue to hear these crazy stories coming out of Australia, Steve. And I thought, actually, you're the one that suggested it. You said you should get Greg on. And so I'm glad that he's going to be on today.
I am surprised that, well, maybe there's still a little bit too much freedom. Well, I'm about to say something terrible. There's a lot of freedom on the internet still. and that's a good thing. I am surprised that these stories out of Australia are still leaking through, because they are nothing short of bizarre.
It is. It's truly bizarre, and it's hard to believe. So it'll be great, because, and Greg's been talking to family members back there, and so we'll get a story on what's happening there. So that will be in the third and fourth segment. My friends, we started this all out with our byline, really, is freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. We see this, you know, and let's just take a look at this whole COVID narrative. It started out with 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Now we're over here to what we're seeing happen in Australia, with the police apparently shooting rubber bullets at people because they want to go out of their homes. So you can see, we are seeing, Steve, the progression of socialism right now. And socialism, as we see, ultimately comes down to force.
Well, I can't wait to hear, you know, what Greg has to say, because obviously he's going to have some very inside scoop. But I'm just thinking, what police officer would fire a rubber bullet at another citizen who is not really doing anything wrong? And the only thing I can think of is that police officer wants to keep his job. But, you know, is he behind what's really going on? Certainly not.
Well, yeah. No job is really worth it. No job is worth tyranny and despotism. It's just not. And that's why we have to stand right now. There is so much tyrannical stuff going on right now, and we need to stand. When we are faced with it, we need to stand and hold the line, as Leslie said yesterday. But let's run over here to our quote for today. I was trying to find quotes about Australia, and I found a quote from Russell Crowe, who's one of the most famous Australian actors. I guess he lives there. It says he's been denied citizenship twice. Don't quite understand that, but he's an actor, director, musician, and singer. He was born in New Zealand, spent 10 years of his childhood in Australia, moved there permanently at age 21, and has twice been denied Australian citizenship. He was born in 1964. And I was thinking, this quote is very appropriate for America today. It says, we can't repay our good luck with bad grace. It invites darkness. And we in America, Steve, are living at the pinnacle of human flourishing right now. When we have running water, and we have sanitation facilities, and we have all kinds of, I mean, we have the opportunity of free time, what we do with our free time, heat for our homes, air conditioning in the summer. We live at the pinnacle of human flourishing, yet we're also hearing stories of suicide rates that are continuing to grow. We have to ask ourselves, why is that? And I think one of the very first things is that we aren't being grateful for what we have. We don't understand what we have. And so, to his quote, we can't repay all this good luck with bad grace without being grateful, because it invites darkness. And we have seen that darkness has been moving into America. So I thought it was a very appropriate quote.
It is. We are awash in darkness, or maybe I can throw another word in there. We are awash in wrongdoing, and have been for a couple decades now. How many, you know, high-level officials, politicians, who are flat out caught in some level of wrongdoing, nothing becomes of it, and it's warping our culture.
Well, it is, but I really do think that there is this great awakening. As I talk with people, I think that as we continue to shed light on what is happening there, and I mean, I remember as culture, as movies and music was continuing to move further and further to the darkness, people would say, oh, well, it's just art. And, you know, you don't really appreciate art if you don't think that this is great. I mean, I realize now, you look at Harvey, is it Weinstein? Now, we've talked about his name. Did I say that right?
Well, technically, yes, you did. Media probably won't agree, because they keep on, you know, messing it up, But and for one, my experiences in Germany and sitting in high school German class, it's Weinstein.
Okay. And so, you know, he made these really, you know, trashy, dark movies, and all in the, you know, saying that it is his art, when in essence we realized that there was really a lot of darkness that was going on there, and what was happening with, you know, the different starlets that wanted to be in his movies. And I think that there is this real awakening that's saying there is an evil that is trying to grab hold of our country and grab hold of us and grab hold of our children. And we have got to hold the line and stand firm and continue to move towards truth and light on all of this, Steve. So that's one of the reasons why we do this show.
It's funny, everything you just said collectively, anytime you shine light on the darkness will push back. And, you know, with that little disclaimer there, well, it's only art, or it's art and you need to get on board with it. You know, it's wrong.
Yeah. Well, I think that now we realize, and we realize that we do need to push back, and not in a, oh gosh, how can I say, I think I'll just say, not in a judgmental way, but in a way to say, you know, to push back on it. And I just think that's really important. But I wanted to run over to a couple of other things before we get into the second segment. And first of all, that is this LEAP initiative that is, or this LEAP proposal that is on, will be on this ballot that you're going to be receiving here very soon. And it's the Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program. And it will have to be the grassroots talking to each other about this to defeat this. And the reason that we need to defeat this, and again, there's some very good folks that do have their name on the endorsement page, and it has been sold to them as a step towards school vouchers, school choice. If you read the complete initiative, which we will have linked in our voter's guide that will be coming out soon, it says it cannot be used for school tuition. And this is the thing that we have got to stand, you know, hold the line on this. This is, quote unquote, a new marijuana tax that would be for the children, for after school programs. First of all, if we were doing our job in our education system during the time that our kids are in school, teaching them reading, writing, arithmetic, history, science, how to think critically, to teach them those kinds of things instead of the junk that we see coming through CRT, trying to divide people, which CRT, critical race theory, or any of the, they just rename things sometimes, Steve, is very, very racist. Or sexualizing our kids through this whole LGBTQ agenda. We need to get rid of that. We need to get back to what needs to be done. And then we don't need to, quote unquote, have these government after school programs. But the thing that is very concerning about this is it puts in place an unelected, unaccountable authority board, new bureaucrats, who have taxing power. They make all the decisions. They're appointed by this governor. They choose their replacements. They choose all the vendors, and they're accountable to no one. So, my friends, you have got to talk to your friends, because there's going to be a lot of money coming at this to try to get this thing passed. And the reason is, there's 137 million or 134 million that they anticipate they'll get in the first full year. They're going to take 10% for the authority board. They get to take 10% for their administrative costs. And then, of course, all the vendors can take money for administrative costs. It's a great idea if you're trying to figure out a way to get government money to fund a program that actually can function over on the nonprofit side if there's a need for it. And so this has got to be a hard no. You've got to get informed on it, and you've got to talk to your friends and your family about it, because this is antithetical to the American idea, and it's been going on for far too long, Steve.
Well, my 2 cents before we go to break, We have talked about in the past, as long as we've been doing this show, the classic government create a problem so they can come in and fix it for you. And this is a classic example.
It really is. It really is. So we'll continue to talk about that. And we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants has been a great partner of both of my shows. And they have lunch specials Monday through Friday. 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They have $8 items, which is Baja Fish Tacos, Lunch Burger, or Smoked Wings. $9 items are Shrimp Tacos, Chicken Tenders, Chicken Garden Salad, or Buffalo Chicken Garden Salad, or Philly Cheesesteak. And their $10 items are their fish and chips, which I really like. Those are really good. And Buffalo Chicken Sandwich or Western Burgers. So go to my website, kimmunson.com. Click on my sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of them. And if you click on the Hooters tab, you'll find all their specials. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Wen Fa.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well, and really appreciate all your support also. Thank you so much. On the line with me is Wen Fa. He is an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. And it looks like they're working to try to bring a lawsuit against Colorado for something that I think is very racist. My understanding is that there's some small business grants that are available, but if you are, I think, white or Native American, need not apply. Do I have that correct, Wen? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on. So basically what's going on in Colorado is that Colorado initially set aside $4 million of COVID grants and relief for minority-owned businesses. We challenged that in federal court, and Colorado has since amended the legislation, and they've just recently enacted policies setting forth the application process for the grants, which gives a preference to minority-owned businesses. That application process is only open for another week, but we believe that it's still unconstitutional because it gives a preference to small businesses in need of relief based on the skin color of its owner.
It is remarkable when I never thought that we would actually be in a situation in America where, after all that we've done, had made such great progress on race relations, that we would get to this point where just because of the color of your skin, you need not apply. I mean, I just can't imagine it, Wen. How could this happen in America?
Well, I think there is a general sense that, you know, in order to further equity, the government needs to discriminate on the basis of race. We think that's absolutely wrong. So this program actually allows many small business owners to apply if they can show that they lost over 20% in revenue since March 2020 and that they have not received over $20,000 in PPP loans. But it still gives a preference to businesses that are minority-owned businesses. We disagree with that. We think that individuals should be treated as individuals, not as members of their racial group, and that's why my organization, nonprofit public interest organization called Pacific Legal Foundation, that's why we brought a challenge to this law earlier this year, and that's why we continue to believe that this law is unconstitutional.
Now, do you need additional people to join in on this lawsuit with you?
Well, we're certainly very interested in speaking with small business owners who have lost over 20% in revenue since March 2020, and small business owners that have not received more than $20,000 in PPP loans over the past year. You know, I'd definitely be interested in talking to them to hear their story and to see if there's anything we can do.
When a question, and again, I guess at that point, let's say, how could people reach you if they wanted to talk with you more about that?
Sure. People can reach me. They can find my bio on our website at pacificlegal.org. My email is WFA, F as in Frank, A as in Apple, at pacificlegal.org. And people can reach me, and I will be happy to talk to small business owners in Colorado.
Okay. Now, question, do you see this kind of discrimination going on in other states as well, or is Colorado unique in this?
No, absolutely. This discrimination, I think there's a new wave of discrimination bolstered by calls for equity. I think what you mentioned during the break about critical race theory, Pacific Legal Foundation, myself included, we're challenging. We have five lawsuits across the country in states like Florida, Illinois, and Oregon, challenging a discriminatory farm loan forgiveness program passed by the Biden administration that limits farm loan forgiveness to minority farmers and ranchers. White farmers are categorically excluded regardless of their circumstances. And we think that's absolutely wrong and judges people not based on the content of their character, but on the color of their skin.
Yes, Martin Luther King Jr., when he said that he dreamed of a time when his little children would be judged not on the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, I think he would just be very surprised where we are. Talk a little bit more about that. I remember reading that in this, it was that last big spending bill, wasn't it, where they did this, again, loan forgiveness. And I couldn't see any particular reason. It was just loan forgiveness because of the color of your skin. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. So so remember, these are loans. Most of these loans are loans for beginning farmers who are just starting out in the industry. And a lot of these farmers have been really affected by the COVID pandemic. One of our clients has, most of our clients, I would say, have somewhere to the tune of almost $200,000 in farm loans. And they've been significantly impacted, suffering great revenue losses due to the COVID pandemic. And what this program does is that it says you're categorically ineligible just because of your skin color. We think that's wrong. We think that's inconsistent with the words etched on the Supreme Court's building, which is equal justice before under the law. And that's what we believe in. We believe that everybody should be treated with equal dignity under the law. And that's what we're fighting for at Pacific Legal Foundation.
Great work. When a question regarding the courts, there had been great hope with the appointments, the Trump appointments in many of the federal courts, as well as the Supreme Court. But these legal challenges to this overreaching, these unconstitutional decisions take time and they take money. And I think people are frustrated about this. And you're working in the legal arena on a consistent basis. What's your thoughts about that?
So that actually is, I think what Pacific Legal Foundation, what we do here at Pacific Legal Foundation, we represent our clients free of charge in vindicating the constitutional rights of all Americans in courts across the United States. And we've had a long track record, a very successful track record. We've had 14 wins before the Supreme Court of the United States, including two just this summer. And we're looking forward to many more in pursuit of individual liberty.
Okay, how can people help you guys out as well? You said you're a nonprofit.
Right, so people can help us out. They can come to pacificlegal.org to support our nonprofit and to learn more about our cases.
So one other question, because people are reaching out to me on a consistent basis over here in the COVID arena, and that is people maybe losing their jobs or denied service, can't go to different venues. Are you doing anything in that arena at all, Wynn?
Well, so I think what we're doing in that arena is that we're challenging unconstitutional racial discrimination in light of COVID. So you see a lot of these COVID relief programs like I just mentioned in Colorado and other states that say that we're only going to, even though everybody has suffered or many people have suffered during this coronavirus pandemic, we're only going to offer aid to people based on skin color. We think that's wrong. We're also challenged different the eviction moratorium, and we had cases going on in that arena as well.
Okay, great work, great work. Winfa, I so appreciate you joining us again. This is Winfa with the Pacific Legal Foundation, and that is W-E-N-F-A, and you go to Pacific Legal Foundation, and all of this information is right there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
And on the line with me is Kimberly Bell. She is an entrepreneur. She is a sponsor of the show. She's the owner of Kanjani Coffee, which is my favorite coffee shop. Was just there last week, Kim, and new people. I continue to meet more and more new people here, and they walk in. They say, this is a gem. Welcome to the show, Kimberly.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what is new at Kanjani Coffee?
All right. Well, every day we do have daily deals, and you can check those out on kanjanicoffee.com, and that's Monday through Saturday. And then this Friday, 10-1, we're going to have a wine and cheese flight. So it's four wines, and they're cheese pairings. So it'll be cheese, fruit, and possibly some chocolate. So that'll be nice. It starts at 4, ends at 8. So that's this Friday, 10-1, 4 to 8, cheese flight, cheese and wine flight. And then on Sunday, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and what else is going on?
On 10/24 Sunday, we have a tea party from 2:30 to 4, so that'll be fun for some moms or our grandmas and their children and their grandchildren. What else? That's it for that. We have Wednesday night prayer also, so that starts at 6:30. If anyone wants to join us, come on by.
Okay. And just a quick question on that tea. You said that's on Sunday, so will you have like the little tea sandwiches and all? As well,
yeah, we'll have all those little things, all the nice little English tea party type things.
and do people need to make reservations?
It would be great to come in and register. Yeah, just come in to Kanjani and register at the front counter.
Okay. And what is your website, Kimberly?
It is kanjanicoffee.com. K-U-N-J-A-N-I coffee, C-O-F-F-E-E.com.
And I highly recommend you guys are located at the northwest corner of Lincoln and Jordan out in Parker. And it truly is a gem. And Kimberly, thanks so much for the update.
Thank you. Have a great
week. We're going to go. You bet. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Greg Morrissey about what is going on in Australia. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for a weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is one of my fellow Liberty Toastmasters. He's a member of Liberty Toastmasters North and a frequent guest on the show, and that is Greg Morrissey. Greg, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing?
I am doing well, and you have this great Australian accent. You grew up in Australia, and we are hearing crazy things from down under. What have you found out? You still have family back there, Greg?
Oh, yes, I still have family back there. And if it's okay with you, what I'd like to do is give you just a brief history how Australia came into being. And then I've got some numbers and stuff to share with people. So the Dutch first sighted Australia in 1606. Then Captain Cook claimed the land from Great Britain in 1770. The first fleet boats arrived in Botany Bay about 1788. And then how Australia got started, over 162,000 convicts were transported to Australia from Great Britain, the vast majority of New South Wales and Tasmania. So that's how we kind of got our country going. And we gained our independence in 1901. The Commonwealth of Australia was a federation of all states. It was agreed the capital would be in 100 kilometers from Sydney, which is now Canberra. So just so people know, we do have a lot of commonality with the United States.
And in our, I've always thought that there was a lot of commonality, and certainly during World War II, Australia was an ally. I've always thought that they were a freedom place, but what's going on now?
Well, what's going on there right now is they having their largest spike of COVID cases, and particularly in one state, the state south of where I live, in the state of Queensland, which is the northeast coast. The state of New South Wales is to the south. And last month, they spiked to 11,300 cases. So they were coming down, and then the state below that, Victoria, was also spiking with other cases. Now, my state of Queensland, the number is going down to only 17 cases.
Okay. This whole thing has moved from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to we don't want to overrun our hospitals to all these cases. Now, the thing about the cases is, first of all, cases and deaths are different. Some cases might be mild cases. If you're testing lots of people, there can be more cases. There are many that say that the PCR test many times gives false positives and also false negatives, so it can't be totally trusted. So this number using the cases, and then we've seen here in America, Steve, where actually they've been cooking the books. And I just go to what I learned up in regarding Grand County, where the state of Colorado actually noted two deaths as that were gunshot wounds, murder-suicide, as COVID deaths. This happened back in November, and they still have not adjusted that and still count those as COVID deaths. So I'm concerned about the data on this. What's your thoughts on that, Greg?
Well, the fact that between the two borderlines, my home state of Queensland and New South Wales, Queensland's only got 17 cases, and the number's going down. New South Wales had 11,300 cases. Now, they have a larger population, and it's starting to go down. Their trend is starting to go down. It jumped up last month, but then I could not find data how it was reported, who's reported, just like you stated before, those people who got caught before. But with New South Wales, they shut the entire state down. They shut everything down. You're all going to stay home.
Is that where we're seeing all of these videos and stories that are coming out of Australia? Is that in New South Wales? So the whole country's not shut down. It's just, are they called provinces? Is that what it is?
It's states. They're called states.
States. Okay. Got it. Okay.
Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia, Western Australia. Then we have Northern Territory.
Okay. So is New South Wales shut down, but what about Queensland? Is it opened up?
I just spoke to my sister. She just became a grandmother. They're back to normal. They're doing fine. And when I spoke to her last, she was walking down the beach where she lives. She lives on the coast.
Okay. Had they been shut down at all in Queensland?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay. So New South Wales is where all of this just crazy stuff is happening then, correct?
No, the crazy stuff is happening where the people were shot with rubber bullets was in Victoria.
Okay.
And what it was, there was every major city in Australia had demonstrations against this COVID-19, COVID vaccine, very similar. They were saying the very same things that we're saying over here. And then what I found on when I started looking around, it's kind of hard to find, but I found more than 200 people were arrested in Melbourne in Victoria. after demonstrators threw projectiles, including golf balls, batteries, and bottles at police, injuring two officers. Lockdown measures are in place in the city for the sixth time as Australia faces an outbreak of COVID-19. And that's the place where they fire the rubber bullets into that crowd to break them up.
What do you think about that, Greg? Because you're a freedom guy. What do you think about that?
Well, I disagree with them throwing the bottles and batteries, that type of stuff. But them shooting rubber bullets, that's going a little too far. So that's really close to shooting real bullets. And how this is going to affect the people and how upset they're going to be and what's the next step that's going to happen with protests and stuff, it's going to be we'll wait to see, because what I found out was the police didn't even know this protest was even coming. The people just showed up.
Well,
and
the right...
Break it up, and then all the other stuff came up, and then these people are trying to fight, hey. So it's like it is over here. It's trying to find out who's telling the truth.
Right. And so talk to me a bit about then the government there. There's different states. So does this state have a governor? What's the...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All the states have a governor, and you have a similar political situation in Australia as you hear in the U.S. They don't call them Republican and Democrats, but the parties have similar names and very similar in their philosophies. And then you'll find that the... in New South Wales and in Victoria, those two parties, it's a mixture.
Okay.
And go ahead.
Well, are you seeing, I mean, I've heard that in Australia, now I don't know which particular state, that people were being locked in their homes. They were told that they could not go further than a certain distance from their home, and if so, then that they might be arrested. Or so any of those stories, have you heard any of those?
I've heard people saying that, but I have not heard of that actually happening to any people. No, I have not.
Okay.
And I spoke to my brother in Western Australia, and they're not in lockdown now either, and then said he heard stories about it, but they have not heard or seen anyone being put in that kind of situation.
Okay. What about videos? Have you seen some of the videos that have been coming out of Australia? Do you think they're authentic?
I've seen some of the videos with some of the people, and with those videos, I'd really like to have the opportunity to question those people. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But the video did find where the police were shooting rubber bullets into the crowd, and you could hear the firing and the people running away as fast as they could. That was down in Melbourne.
Talk to me a little bit. I've heard that in Australia that basically people no longer have their own firearms. Is that correct?
There was a big thing there where Australia bought their own firearms. That's not correct. You can now purchase firearms, but it's difficult to do so. You have to go through a very tough process to do it. And then they had that incident in Hobart, which caused that, where the person went in and killed all those people in an old people's home. Then the Australian government went out and started buying all the rifles. But then what happened is the black market opened up. Because in my home state of Queensland, they caught a man and his three sons. This is a few years ago now. They smuggled in 4.2 tons of ammunition and 382 rifles.
Okay.
So
makes me
what
think.
They thought they were doing, it just enabled the black market to come in to take that, take it back up again. And I've been told from my hometown where I grew up in Beaudesert, they've now opened the rifle range back up again, so people are out there practicing.
Okay. Gosh, this is really great to get this information, because I've heard so many things that you're actually kind of pushing back on that. Greg, tell us, how did you, you're a citizen of the United States now, correct?
Correct.
Okay, tell us about that journey.
That journey came when I was in the Australian military, and we just I joined it, so the draft was occurring in Vietnam, and it was questionable whether I was going to get it or not. But it was I was wrong. It stopped after that. But I joined the military. I was in the Navy, and Australia buys a lot of the military hardware from the U.S. At that particular time, we bought three brand new warships built here, so that was the latest technology at the time. I was sent over here. Sent to classes at Great Lakes Navy Base up there in Illinois, just north of Chicago, to do all the classes. Then we picked the ships up in Seattle, sailed them down to Los Angeles, then we started the sea trials to verify everything was going to work, all the systems, missile systems, engineering systems and stuff. I was in power supply and distribution to make sure that the generators, everything ran inside the ship. And down there, I met a young lady who later became my wife, and I came over here and got married. And then I got my green card, and then after a few years, after a certain amount of years, you could go for your citizenship, which I did.
And what's your thoughts about what's happening down at the border with all these Haitians coming into the United States?
That kind of scares me, because when I went through that entire process, when you go through the immigration process, the places I was going to in Los Angeles, I had to line up to fill out the paper form. I was just only one of the few people that spoke English. The vast majority of people from all over the world. And some of them were trying to pretend to speak English and that type of stuff. It was like one of your first interviews and stuff. With all the Haitians coming in, I understand that they want a better country, but they cannot bring what Haitia was to us. They are looking for a better life. But the fact that the border is open, and right now the border is kind of scary because there's no control. You don't know who's coming over. And you don't know what those people are, what their background is, where they're going to end up. Some of that stuff and some of the people, even when I was going through those lines in Los Angeles, that was kind of scary.
America has been the great melting pot. That has been one of the great things about America. But what I found also, I served on a board of a non-governmental organization that was doing refugee resettlement. At the time, I thought we were bringing in those. Many times I thought it was Christians that might have been persecuted. And once I started to really connect the dots and realize that there was big government money in this whole refugee resettlement, and that there was not assimilation going on, that in fact bringing in people from third world countries and not assimilating them into the American idea, and then just kind of bringing, as you mentioned, that third world country over here to the United States. And then, of course, when we see with the Democrat agenda now to get citizenship, and what they're really trying to do is to get people to get voters. And it really is changing the fabric of America. So what's your final thought on that, Greg, before we go to break? And then when we come back, we'll continue the conversation.
My final thought on that is I'd like to see more American people get involved in the entire process, get educated, know what's going on, and that border situation needs to be closed. If they're coming across, it needs to be controlled for all people. I like the idea when Trump was putting the fence up, you got a great deal of control back. And those people coming over, you knew who was coming in. And with the processes in place, you know who's telling the truth and who's telling the lies. Take control of the process.
Okay. Well, and just a question. It seems a bit daunting to take control of this process. But through elections, through the courts, I guess that's where we need to go, correct, Greg?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
let's go to break. On the line with me is Greg Morrissey. He is a fellow colleague of mine with Liberty Toastmasters. He's a member of Liberty Toastmasters North. And if you want more information about Liberty Toastmasters, it really helps with communication skills, listening skills, and really helps us kick the tires on different ideas. We don't always agree on everything. But Liberty Toastmasters North meets the second and fourth Saturdays of each month up in Longmont, and Liberty Toastmasters Denver the first and third Saturdays of each month. You can get more information at liberty.toastmasters.org. You know what? Just go to Toastmasters website and put in Liberty Toastmasters, and it'll come up. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Greg Morrissey.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. I really appreciate that as well. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity. by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is one of my fellow colleagues at Liberty Toastmasters, Greg Morrissey. He grew up in Australia, still has family back there, and is now a citizen of the United States. And Greg, you are one who really has an understanding of the American idea, the Constitution. How did that happen?
Well, how that happened when I first came here, and I went through the entire process, and then you have to do an exam to become a citizen. You study the exam, the Constitution was part of the exam. And then I started looking at that, and I thought, I heard a little bit about the Constitution growing up in Australia, but there wasn't a great deal of talk about it. And then I started looking into it and finding out about it. Then I got involved with Boulder County Republicans, where I'm at, and then in the Liberty Toastmasters. Then I started doing some research in the Constitution. And the people who put that document together did an unbelievably good job. And what I found myself with the Constitution, at the present moment, I'm a student. I'm still learning. I found a great online class at Hillsdale College, which I'm undertaking at the present time. I've started the whole process. But the history, the thought, how the people came up with the Constitution, I'd like to see the Constitution across all countries, not just the U.S., because it puts the people where they should be. You should be able to get out, get a job, start a business, and be productive and live your life without having any kind of crazy communist or tyrannical control like that. The people who put the document, the Constitution together, did a fantastic job. I wish that, like they had the day the Constitution was signed, I think it should be a national holiday. I've also brought up a few times, I'd like to see the Constitution taught in high school. And you shouldn't be able to graduate high school without passing a test on your Constitution. Get to know it. It's your history. It's uniquely American, and it's very, very well done, very well thought out.
What's your comment to people when they say, but gosh, these guys were imperfect guys that wrote this, and that some of them had slaves and really tried to disregard the founders? What would your comments be to people when they say that?
Well, the comments I brought up to people like that, but some of the conversations I've had, these men and women, their wives with them, knew what was wrong. They could see the future, and they, based on the history which they had coming from England and all the other countries, how do we make it different? How could this be an example for people to be people without having a tyrannical government controlling everything? They realized that the mistakes they made, they learned through those mistakes, and they came up with the Constitution so that everyone could be standing on their own feet and making your decisions about your life without having someone do it for you. But with that comes self-responsibility. You've got to look in the mirror, and if you like start a business that doesn't work out, you made a mistake, but you learn from those mistakes, go out and start again. It shouldn't be free this, free that, everything's for free. You should be able to get out, work, get educated, start your business, get employed, and take control of your life and have the freedom to do that.
Well, nothing is free. It's taken either from your neighbors or it's taken from the next generation via this inflation and borrowing that we're doing. So there is nothing that is for free. And as you talk about the Constitution, I was just thinking about the First Amendment, and that is that it says here, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I mean, just in those few words, it is amazing what they have put into the Constitution about the rights of the individual, Greg.
Correct. And a lot of people must realize that the thing that scares me, the government and, well, some people, some members of the government are coming after those rights. They don't want that. They want the control. That's why need to get to their Constitution, know your Constitution, know the history. Please become a student of the Constitution, everyone. Go to like Hillsdale College. There's some other places you can go. Take a class in your Constitution and look at that history and look at the people who wrote it where they're at in their lives, how they put it together, and I think it was brilliant how it was done. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, it is. But during this time now, with people being told that they need to have a passport to go to a restaurant, like in New York City or Los Angeles, to go to a concert, to just be people, how could we get to this particular point in time here in America? Greg, what's your thoughts?
Well, to me, they're using the COVID as a control issue. We want this control. We're using the COVID to do that. But the if you go start digging around through the press, digging through the stories, it's very difficult to find exactly where COVID came from. There's several things point to come in China. But if it came from China, then the country should be going after China for doing it. But then you're using the COVID as a control issue instead of using COVID as a issue to, you've got this in here right now, but I've got my constitution says you can't do this. I'm free to make my choices. And one of the choices should be to have the best, most accurate and verified information on COVID. With the stuff coming through a lot of the press and that type of stuff, it's kind of hard to find out who's telling the truth and who's not.
Right. And so to be using all of this narrative, which cannot be totally verified yet. And for example, Patty has on our headlines today that Project Veritas released a third video of its COVID vaccine investigative series, exposing two Johnson & Johnson officials who argue children do not need to take the COVID vaccine in part because of the potential long-term side effects. And then they actually have the video on that. And until we really know the truth, we should not be having all of this force and coercion going on about this. And so people do need to, as you know, just said, to understand our Constitution. The Constitution was put in place basically to protect we the people from an overreaching government. It was put on as guardrails for government because government likes power. It likes to take more and more power. And that's why I'm excited that the veil is really coming off on many of these different issues, but people need to be informed. And the side that wants to not abide by the Constitution, what they are resorting to is confusion and chaos. And what the Constitution puts in place is order. And for a society to be successful, for people to be able to thrive and flourish in a society, we have to have order. And so whenever people are faced between the question of order or confusion and chaos, they need to go towards order. Correct, Greg?
Correct.
And the Constitution really puts that in place. And have you heard, my understanding was the usurpations that the colonists put into the Declaration of Independence, there was like 27 things that they said to King George, this doesn't work. And that actually those usurpations, the Constitution in some way addresses this. And at least I've seen a correlation in that. How about you?
I see a correlation too. And I'd like to find, if you could, all the politicians who follow the Constitution, I would like them to come out and say, this is why I follow the Constitution. And this is why we all need to follow the Constitution. Not all politicians are bad. I'm in Colorado's 4th District, and we got Congressman Ken Buck up there. He's doing a good job. I heard him on the radio this morning, and the things he was saying was good. They're about their budget issues, and some of the budget issues they're about to face here coming up. And I went looking through the Constitution, but I couldn't find it. Maybe you know it. I said a balanced budget should be in there, too.
It's not in there, but I don't think that the founders ever I don't think that they ever thought you probably needed a balanced budget language in there, because if we'd adhere to the Constitution and keep government in the guardrails that it's supposed to be in, then we would not have this out-of-control spending. And so right. I don't think that they actually ever thought that that we would get to this point. But there have been those that have been trying to get around the Constitution since the day that it was basically signed. And here we are now 34 years later. We've seen that it is really under assault. So we need to have a rebirth. We need to reclaim our Constitution for sure, and would recommend that people read that. And what's kind of your final thought that you'd really like to leave with our listeners today, Greg, as we take a look at what has been happening in Australia and what's happening in America? What's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
The final thought I'd like to leave with the listeners to do with the Constitution, everyone come together and make the day the Constitution was written a national holiday. Everyone needs to know your Constitution and be able to pass a test on it. I'd like to see it introduced in high schools, to where before you graduate high school, one of the things you must pass is a constitutional test, and have that in our children and growing forward. Where I see right now, it's not going to change overnight. It's going to take some work to make some change. But if everyone comes together and says, the day the Constitution was written will be a national holiday, everyone will be paying attention to what the Constitution says. That could be a huge step in the right direction.
I totally agree. Greg Morrissey, I really appreciate you joining us for this extended conversation on Australia and the U.S. Constitution and your appreciation of the American idea. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kim. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Hopefully I'll get to do it again soon. Wonderful.
Oh, very, very soon. And again, more information about Liberty Toastmasters, go to Toastmasters website, the national, and just put in Liberty Toastmasters. You can get more information there. And again, wonderful people, my colleagues there. Our quote for today is from Russell Crowe. And this is what he said. He said that, hold on here, got to get right to it. He said, brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.